Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please prayerfully consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout his entire word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon himself so that we could have a fresh start clothed in his righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal his people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, his Word, is still able to heal his people today. If you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Thank you, Father, for this time together to study your word and to pray in agreement with it and with each other. Father, I pray everything that is said today honors and glorifies you and your Son Yeshua only, that anything not from you would fall to the ground, and only your words would be heard by those that need to hear them. In Yeshua's name, amen. Last week we started looking at all of the noonday scriptures pointing to significant occurrences and prophetic warnings at noonday in Yahweh's word. We will continue where we left off and then take a closer look at the Shunammite woman's son whom Elisha raised from the dead. The scriptures we went over last week were Amos 8, 9 and 10, Genesis 43 starting in verse 16, 1 Kings 20 verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 8-21, 1 Kings 18, 26-32, 2 Kings 4, Isaiah 59, 1-21, Job 5, 14, and Jeremiah 6, 1-4. Today we will start with the Song of Solomon 1, verse 7. In this passage, the speaker is asking the woman that he loves where the flock is fed and where it rests at noon. Then in Deuteronomy 28:29, Yahweh lists the curses that would come upon Israel if they break his covenant, and one of them is that disobedient and unfaithful Israel, and Israel represents all of his covenant people, shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and shall not prosper in thy ways, and shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Then we have Zephaniah 2:1-4 and Psalms 91:1-10, which seem to possibly be parallel verses that speak of the same event or events. Zephaniah 2:1-4 says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you. Seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up." Then Psalms 91:1-10 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress. My Elohim, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with your eyes shall you look upon and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Therefore shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Both of these passages speak of those trusting in and obeying Yahweh as being hidden and or protected during destruction or desolation that comes at noonday. In both, we are told to repent and seek refuge in Yahweh. In fact, Zephaniah, or Zephaniah, actually means Yah, or Yahweh has secreted or hidden something or someone. Remember, Yahweh is our place of safety when destruction comes at noonday. Even if 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you if you have been gathered and are trusting under the shadow of his wings. Then with these two passages, also consider Isaiah 16:3, which says, "Bring counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcasts, do not betray him who escapes." So then perhaps, while judgment and destruction seem to come as darkness at noonday, this same darkness is where Yahweh hides his people in the day of destruction, under the shadow of his wings. As a side note, it is interesting that when the angels rescued Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, they first struck the evil men of the city with blindness. So while they were blind or in darkness, Lot and his family were hidden and removed from the city before great destruction came upon the evil city. Remember then that while darkness at noonday certainly seems to represent pending judgment, this same darkness could be where Yahweh hides his people, his remnant under his wings. That concludes my list of darkness at noonday verses. One noonday passage really sparked my interest because of the number 7, though. 7 sneezes, to be exact, from the Shunammite woman's son who died and was raised through Elisha's anointing. 7 sneezes. What's the reason for this even being in here? Something as curious as this, which doesn't really seem to have a reason for being there in the natural, triggers a deeper look at just why it is there. We probably all know the story. A Shunammite woman without any children extends hospitality to the prophet Elisha every time he passes through her area, and even asks her husband to build and furnish a room for him on the wall that he can stay in when he passes by. Elisha wants to repay her and bless her for her hospitality, so he asks her if there is anything she wants or needs, and she replies that she is in need of nothing. Elisha's servant suggests that she has no child, and her husband is old, so Elisha prays for and promises her a son. She doesn't want to believe it because she doesn't want to be disappointed. She has a son, as promised, and then in 2 Kings 4:18 through 37, the child grew, and it came to be on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head," and he said to the servant, "Take him to his mother." So he took him and brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon and died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim, and shut the door on him, and went out. Then verses 22 through 27 tell of her journey to see Elisha in person. When she reaches Elisha in verse 28, she said, "Did I ask a son of my master? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Gird up your loins, and take my staff in your hand, and go. When you meet anyone, do not greet him, and when anyone greets you, do not answer him, and you shall lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As Yahweh lives, and as your being lives, I do not leave you." And he arose, that is, Elisha, rose, and followed her. And Gehazi went on ahead of them, and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was no voice, and there was no hearing. So he went back to meet him, Elisha, and report to him, saying, "The child has not awakened." And Elisha came into the house and saw that the child was dead, lying on his bed. And he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to Yahweh. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands and stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and walked back and forth in the house. Then he went up and stretched himself out on the child again. And the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and she came in, and he said, "Pick up your son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and picked up her son and went out. The Shunammite woman could be a picture of Sarah in that she had already accepted that she would never bear a son. Her husband, like Abraham, had a son in his old age. The son could then be a picture of the nation of Israel, which is descended from the promise to Sarah and Abraham. The dry bones in Ezekiel 37 show that Israel was indeed dead, but will be made to live again when Yahweh breathes his spirit back into them. Then the dead boy could be a picture of the dead body of Israel. Why did Elisha first send his servant with his staff instead of going himself? Throughout Scripture, the staff is a picture of authority. Moses and Aaron both had staffs to lead Israel according to Yahweh's laws or Torah. Yahweh also sent his servants, the prophets, to remind the people of Israel of his laws and return to them to the way that leads to life. However, they still chose the path that led to death. Just as Elisha's servant with Elisha's staff could not raise the boy, Yahweh's servants with his staff of authority in Torah could not raise Israel. Elisha's staff on the boy's face only served to confirm that the boy was indeed dead. Similarly, being faced with Yahweh's staff of Torah does not bring us to life, but only confirms our death. Paul spoke of the law as not being able to bring life, but instead confirming death in Romans 7. For example, Romans 7, verse 5 says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Elisha had to personally go to the boy before he could be resurrected. The first time Elisha personally went into the boy, his body, the boy's body, became warm, but he was not yet completely resurrected. Elisha left the boy and walked back and forth within the house before going back to the boy and doing the same thing a second time. Yahweh manifested himself bodily in Yeshua, going to the dead body of Israel to revive it after sending his servants with the staff of his law to confirm their death. He warmed the body of Israel at his first coming with the former rain of his spirit. The latter rain, or outpouring of his spirit, on the partially revived body of Israel will happen a second time to totally revive it at Yeshua's second coming. The dry bones of Israel will be raised and filled with his spirit, just as Ezekiel prophesied and as Elisha's second visit to the boy pictures. Why did the boy sneeze seven times before he opened his eyes? The form of the Hebrew word for sneezed here is only used this one time in the entire Bible. That is H2237 in the Strong's, and is spelled in Hebrew Zayin Vav Resh. And the Strong says this word is a primitive root compared to H2114, perhaps to diffuse or to sneeze. This H2114 referred to here is Zayin Resh without the Vav in the middle and means to turn aside, hence be a foreigner, strange, profane, specifically to commit adultery. What is a sneeze? Dictionary.com says it is to emit air or breathe suddenly, forcibly, and audibly through the nose and mouth by involuntary spasmodic action. So the boy's seven sneezes, being forceful and involuntary emissions of air, coupled with the meaning of foreign, strange, profane, and adultery, could be a picture of the body of Israel in the form of seven congregations or churches, and will be refined by the forceful casting out of the foreign, strange, profane, and adulterous spirits among them during the 7 years of tribulation. That is when those dry bones receive his spirit and become alive again to be joined together as one kingdom in the millennial reign of Yeshua at his second coming. Sarah receives her son Israel back alive, just as the Shunammite woman did. Very deep, I know, but it is incredible how many places in the Old Testament allude to the first and second comings of Yeshua our Messiah, and this, I believe, is one of them. Just as Elisha's servant could not revive the boy with Elisha's staff, Yahweh's servants with the staff of his law could not revive dead Israel. Elisha had to go into the boy himself two times before the boy's eyes were opened, and he was completely resurrected, just as Yahweh himself manifested as his word made flesh in the bodily presence of Yeshua, had to come the first time to breathe on us personally, and will come back a second time to completely revive and resurrect us. The seven congregations comprising the body of Israel at Yeshua's second coming will forcefully and involuntarily cast out all profane and adulterous spirits from among them, just as the boy forcefully and involuntarily sneezed seven times when he was revived by Elisha. This, I believe, is an important message for Torah observant believers. The staff of his law will not resurrect us or anyone else. It only serves to confirm that we are dead. Only the presence of Yeshua himself breathing his spirit of life into us can resurrect us or anyone else. He personally has to go to us or them and breathe his spirit into them. A resurrected life from the death of sin cannot be accomplished through his servants wielding his Torah staff. Like Elisha's servant, we can only, however, confirm by the Torah that they are dead and in need of a Savior to resurrect them. Likewise, however, couldn't obedience to the Torah also be a confirmation of life from the dead? Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, that you sent your word, your Son, the exact representation of you, in the flesh to revive us and resurrect your people. where your laws could not redeem us and revive us, but only confirm that we are dead in our sins, you yourself could and did and continue to revive your people to newness of life, and through your set-apart spirit you have written your Torah on our hearts, and we seek to obey your Torah as confirmation of our new life in Yeshua our Messiah and King. We pray for the body of Israel, which is the resurrected body of Messiah. Right now, Abba, we pray for each other, that this resurrected body would walk even as he walked, that our hands would heal even as he healed, our mouths would speak life even as he spoke life, and the light of his life, your light, would shine in the darkness of this increasingly dark world through us. Fill us to overflowing with your set-apart spirit, which is life and light to all whom you fill with it. We pray right now for unity, for healing over those who need healing, for faith for those who need faith, for restoration and rebirth for those who don't know you or your Son. We pray for your provision for those who need food and shelter. We pray for your love to overwhelm the poor and downtrodden, the orphans and the widows. Give us faith, increase our faith, that we would be your hands and feet through which you would accomplish all of these things. Burden our hearts and open our eyes to the needs of others around us. Cause us to humble ourselves in order to raise others up out of the depths of despair and poverty. We ask right now, Abba, as the disciples asked, please increase our faith and our faithfulness. Every good thing that is in us only comes from you through your Son and your Spirit. We need more of you to enable us to be the set-apart people that you call us to be. Please help us to set aside our needs and wants in order to fulfill your calling upon us. Help us to love the unlovable and inspire those that are in despair. Please do a work in us that we would reach out beyond ourselves to do your work in the world. We pray for the leaders of our nations as you've asked us and instructed us to do. We pray for the few who are truly seeking to do righteousness rather than to enrich themselves. You know who they are, Abba, that you would strengthen and protect them. Put your wall, hedge, and armor around them and their families. Draw them near to you, that they would be a light in the dark halls of our capitals. We also pray, as David prayed, for the evil, perverted, and greedy for gain that also abound in our government, that you would take hold of them and change their hearts. Change them to seek righteousness and justice instead. Present them with your truth and the opportunity to repent and change their ways. Soften their hearts and open their eyes to your truth, your mercy, and your justice, enabling them to repent and humble themselves before you. This is what we desire for our earthly enemies, Father, because we know that is what you desire, that all will bow before you and proclaim you as Creator and merciful Savior. However, Abba, you know all things and the hearts of all men. Therefore, we also trust and pray that those who will not repent, but instead continuously seek to serve another God, pervert your righteousness and your creation, seek to suppress your truth and your glory and cause your people to sin before you, seek to blaspheme your set-apart name and continually actively seek to oppress and murder the poor, helpless, and innocent through their positions of power and wealth for their own gain, for service to their own gods. We pray that these, your enemies, the enemies of truth, justice, righteousness, and your soon coming kingdom, would be thwarted in their plans of destruction, would fall to ruin. As King David prayed in Psalms 109, we pray for these, your eternal enemies, who will not repent to glorify you. Let them be before you continually, that you may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that they remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that they might even slay the broken in heart. As they loved cursing, so let it come unto them. As they delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from them. As they clothed themselves with cursing, like as with their garment, so let it come into their bowels like water, and like oil into their bones. Let it be unto them as the garment which covers them, and for the girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of your adversaries from you, Yahweh, and of them that speak evil against your set-apart name. But do thou for me, O Elohim, Yahweh, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou the poor and needy and those whose heart is wounded. Help us, O Yahweh, our Elohim. O save us according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Yahweh, have done it. Let them curse, but bless you. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servants rejoice. Let your adversaries, which are our adversaries, be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. We will greatly praise you, O Yahweh, with our mouths. Yea, we will praise you among the multitude, for you stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. In Yeshua's name and authority we pray and trust. Amen. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time listening in, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.